The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. I appreciate them doing that. That's good. Go back in your Bible, if you will, to James chapter 5 and look at verse 7. The word patient is mentioned once here. The word patience is mentioned once. And the Bible says here to be patient. The Bible says to execute patience. And to receive that which is the rain that would come early and the rain that would come later. Now, I want to speak to you tonight on which way are you looking. You know, we went to Branson, Missouri for our family vacation, and we wanted to try to squeeze it in. I realized at the beginning of the summer, with all of the things that was taking place, there's no way we could have took a family vacation. Then when we hit July, it was just no way because we had, of course, the youth conference, which is a big thing for us, and a lot of planning, a lot of things going on around that time. And then it came time, of course, for August. I realized if we didn't take a family vacation in August, then you can forget it pretty much for at least 5 to 6 months or so. And so we decided we're going to squeeze that thing in. Next week, of course, we're working on all sorts of college material and getting ready for the opening of the college and the academy. And so it's going to be a heavy, heavy work week next week as we prepare for those two educational institutions that we have here at Parkside Baptist Church. And so we realized we had to squeeze it in. So we decided to go to Branson, Missouri. And while we were there, we decided to go to Silver Dollar City. And so we went to Silver Dollar City, and of course they have about four to five, what they would call adult rides. I mean, they are just fast, I mean, knee-jerking, I mean, liver quivering, I mean, tongue lacerate, I mean, just one of these things that would jerk you and put you upside down and stuff like that. And the first one we got on, I was speaking to one of the kids, and I said, well, does it have loops? And one of my children said, yeah, I think it has a loop. And so I want you to know that each loop that I counted as I was on that contraption going around, that I counted, there was 5 loops on that contraption. And can I tell you, when we looped, they didn't slow down either. I mean, it looped like very, very quickly, and I was just so glad that they buckled you in. And then we got on this one, and I'm going somewhere with this. I'm tying it in. It's just not a good little story here. But we got on this one. It was called the swing. Now, you know, who in the world is going to get sick on a swing? Unless it's about 10 stories high, and unless it has these metal arms that come down that makes it a non-qualifying swing in my book. But it had these steel rods that came down, and can I tell you that that thing swung. And man, we went out, and then we went way out. And I'm talking about this thing is extra, extra long, you know. And we were way up there, and I'm looking down, and I'm thinking, you know, boy, I hope this thing that they buckled me in holds, because that's going to be an awful long fall. And then all of a sudden, I started feeling weak in my stomach. And I thought, you know, this is not a good thing for the people sitting behind me. And so that I did not toss my potato chips, I decided to close my eyes. And so somebody said, you shouldn't close your eyes because you'll get even worse sick. But you understand, when I close my eyes, I can imagine anything I want to. And I was imagining I was not on that swing. And so I closed my eyes, and boy, we swung down, and then we went up the other way, and I was okay because I couldn't see what was in front of me then as we went backwards, and then we went down again, and I'm thinking, dear Lord, please let me off this thing. But what I'm saying is what I was focusing on, because I was focusing, I was looking a certain direction, can I tell you, I got very dizzy in my head. And you got to be careful in this world that we're living in. I've said often, I'm not trying to be mean, I'm not trying to be a pessimist, because I'm mostly an optimistic type of person, but I really believe that we're living in a society today that is more anti-Christ than any other society I have ever been in since I was born. Now, can I tell you that it is difficult to raise godly children in an ungodly society? It is difficult to live for the Lord Jesus Christ in a society that is anti-God, anti-Christ, and is becoming more anti-God. Just look at the way it is in our secular society. It is becoming more difficult to live for God and live for Christ in our humanistic secular society today in the continental U.S. of A. than it ever was in my generations previous, okay? But what is it that we can do? What is it that we can do to be able to keep the right look? What is it that we can do to be able to structure ourselves in such a way that you're not going to get discouraged, that you're not going to get defeated, that you're not going to give up, that you're not going to throw in the towel, that you're not going to walk away and just wrench your hands and say it's not worth it? And by the way, can I tell you, living for God is worth it. So it doesn't matter what faces you, living for God has the better end. Matter of fact, the Bible even says, blessed are they when men shall persecute them. And so, you know, you can be happy, you can be blessed, you can count yourself, if you would please, on a high level of success, even when living for God and somebody might disagree with you. All right? But let me give you some things, some looks, and which way you are supposed to be looking. Let me give you some looks tonight. Statement number one, a look upward and be calm. Look upward and be calm. You know, I was on that swing when we were going down. I had no other way to look than to look down. I closed my eyes and everything was all right. But when we were going up, guess what? I looked upward and everything was all right because the sky was not moving, at least not as fast as the swing. Okay? And so when you look upward, now here's what the Bible talks about. The Bible says in James chapter 5 and in verse 7, the Bible says to be patient, therefore, says, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Well, the Lord is going to come. The Lord is going to come in the sky. He is going to come. There's going to be the sound of the last trump, if you will. Are you listening to me? And there's going to be the coming of the Lord. The Bible says, behold, the husbandman, it says, waiteth, it says, for the precious fruit of the earth and have long patience for it until he receive, it says, the early and the latter rain. So what do? I be patient. The Lord is coming. I be patient. You say, but I wish that he would come right now. Well, most of us that are of a certain age also feel the same way. But can I tell you that if he doesn't come tonight, I'm still going to get up tomorrow. I'm still going to read my Bible tomorrow. I'm still going to pray tomorrow. I'm still going to get out of bed tomorrow. I'm still going to go forward tomorrow. I'm still going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ tomorrow, whether he comes tonight or he doesn't come tonight. Tomorrow, as it does come, if he chooses not to come tonight, I am determined that I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying look upward and be calm. The Bible says over in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, he said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Then it says in verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. His strength does not waver. His strength does not weaken. You can trust him. Why? Because he has everlasting strength. You can put your strength, you can put your focus in that strength that God has. And by the way, by doing that, he says this. He says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. As you stay your mind, as you focus on that which is Jesus Christ, like you would focus on an individual sitting in a chair, as you focus on him, guess what? It will help you to be able to still your mind. It'll be helpful to you to be able to overcome things that it's talking about a calmness here. You can become calm by focusing. Okay, all of a sudden, there's a car wreck ahead of you. And don't get jittery. Don't get upset. Don't start to bite your wife's fingernails. You be somebody, if you will, please, that stays calm in the midst of the accident. All of a sudden, you've got a bill, and you don't know where it came from. You don't remember charging that on your charge account. You don't remember using that credit card. You have no idea where it came from. But it just so happens that it did come to you, and you did sign on it, and it is your bill, and it is something that you have to pay, and now you put yourself in a stir. Hey, be calm. Go to God and ask God to help you, and ask God to strengthen you, and ask God to be able to calm your nerves. Many years ago, there was a missionary by the name of Jack Benson. Jack Benson was a missionary to China, and he was in the city, and the bandits came in on this starry night, and according to that which is recorded in the pages of history, they forced him to be able to go on the road. He just had a foot operation 3 days prior. And so they was forcing him to go on the road. They were going to take him down to some other place and hold him for ransom. They became very impatient with Mr. Benson, and they said, "Now you will run with us or we will kill you right here." And he said, "You're just going to have to kill me right here. That'll be okay. I'll go home to be with God." He was very calm. As those that were the onlookers of the village of those Chinese people that had been watching him for such a long time, and this man threw him to the ground and then put a gun to his head, pulled the trigger and killed Jack Benson, and then took a machete and severed off his head and then threw his head to the side. Now wait a minute, watch this if you would. And all those Chinese people saw the calmness of this missionary that gave his life simply because of the fact there was no fear. Because there was no fear, because he had a trust that was in God, the rest of that village that had been watching him and staring at him and watching as all this was taking place, they at the funeral all stood in the midst of the enemy and received Jesus Christ out loud, them all. Now why? Because somebody was watching. Listen, when a calamity comes, when problems come, when all of a sudden now nothing is going right in your life, execute that which is calmness. How do you do that? The Bible says to lift up your eyes onto the hills, from whence cometh your help. You lift up your eyes and you look unto the Lord, and let the Lord be the one that will help you. The look upward can cause calmness. You look at a person around you, they might not be calm. You look at the people in the background, they might not be calm. You look at people in the forefront, they might not be calm. But can I tell you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is always going to be calm. Statement number one, how is it that we ought to look? Look upward and be calm. Statement number two, look inward and be clean. Every person here ought to have a desire to do more for God, to live more holy unto the Lord, instead of doing less for God and living more unholy unto the Lord. You know, holiness is not a bad word.
Amen.
You realize you'll probably live longer if you don't smoke?
Amen.
Now, I'm not giving you a bunch of ingenious ideas, but it might need to be thought upon. You realize you'll probably live a little bit longer if you don't drink alcohol? Do you realize that? Do you realize tonight that you will probably live a little bit longer if you don't take prescription drugs that you are addicted to? Do you realize that tonight? Do you realize that you will probably live a little bit longer if you live a decent life and go to bed at a decent hour so that your body receives the rest that it needs? Do you realize you'll probably live a little bit longer? Do you realize tonight, now I'm on a big rabbit trail, do you realize tonight that you'll probably live a little bit longer if you do not always consume nothing but junk food? Okay, I'm leaving that. I was doing all right on the drugs, but now we're on the junk food. I don't mean I was doing all right on the drugs. I mean the message was on the drugs. Look inward and be clean. Here's what the Bible says over in James chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, but be also patient. It says, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord, it says, draweth nigh. So he says, here's what we have to do. We have to be patient. Wait, as we look up, he calms our heart, but be patient as you look up. Well, Lord, I just wish you'd answer my prayer right now. He might be teaching you something that you need to learn right now. Had he had answered your prayer, that you would not have learned. See, we put God on the spot because it's for our sake. When God might not work the way that you want him to work, and you might not like this, but for your sake. Well, God, take care of this problem right now. But if he doesn't take care of the problem right now, you're learning things that you would not have learned had he had taken care of the problem. Well, God, I broke my arm. Please, God, by morning, heal my arm. You know, it might be that you have to wear a cast for a couple of months. Hello? It might take a little bit of time. Dear God, you understand that we're having marital problems, but if it took you 17 years to mess it up, it might take a little while to straighten it up. See, just because you got things right with God doesn't mean that you can make your relationship right just like that. Sometimes there's wounds, sometimes there's hurts, sometimes there's disappointments that go back many years. Sometimes you will say things that will hurt your children, and your children, they can't speak to you, they don't want to talk to you, but they got those deep-seated wounds inside of their heart. They want a right relationship, but they have no earthly idea how, until they get a little bit older, and they know how to use their words and graph their words a little bit better so that they don't offend you, so that they can build the relationship that they always wanted. Now, I'm saying this tonight. You look inward and be clean. The Bible says, listen to it again, James chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Establish your heart. Clean your life up. Make sure that things are right in your life. There was a guy by the name of James Taylor. James Taylor followed John Wesley around everywhere he went. He followed John Wesley around. And every time somebody would stand up or every time somebody would raise their voice when John Wesley would preach, James Taylor would throw a stone at him and he would heckle him. And every time somebody would say something like, amen! You know, when Wesley was preaching, they get stoned by James. And so finally, he was trying to shut everybody down, make everybody quiet, that believed in what the preacher was saying. One night, James fell in love. He just happened to fall in love with one of the girls that was attending the meeting. So he fell in love with this girl. So she said, well, if you're going to marry me, you've got to be faithful underneath the preaching of God's word. He kept coming and he kept coming and he kept coming. He kept throwing rocks. She kept getting embarrassed. She kept walking out. He kept throwing rocks. I mean, he kept beaming people on the back of the head. He sat in the back of the tent or back in the open air a meeting that Wesley was having, and somebody say amen, and he'd throw a rock or a stone. He'd hit him in the back of the head. He'd beam him. He'd try and get him to be quiet. Well, this girl still married him because, I mean, after all, he kept his word. He was coming to church with his rocks. But she married him. Listen to the story. They got married. One night after they got married, they're sitting there in the tent, and Mr. Wesley was reading from the scripture over in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, and in verse 15, it says, as for me and my house, it says, we will serve the Lord. And all of a sudden he realized he didn't have the Lord, and he was supposed to be serving the Lord. So he put away his rocks, and he put away his little stones. He listened that night, and he got saved. Amen. And I don't think you ought to marry an unsaved guy or an unsaved gal. But you know, he got saved that night. By the way, he started reading the Bible after that. He started coming to all the meetings after that. Oh, by the way, his grandson was James Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China. And if you'll read about Hudson Taylor and what he said, one of the biggest influences in his life was his granddad. Now, this was the guy that used to come and used to take rocks and little stones and heave them at people when all of a sudden the preacher was preaching. See, God can change somebody's life. Yeah. God can take a person and clean them up. Yeah. You look at our church and we voice it. We say, hey, we're a fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire, brimstone, zoning, separated Baptist people. We shout it from the mountaintops. We go soul winning. We run buses. We send missionaries out. We pass out gospel tracts. We'll preach it straight. We'll tell it how it is. We try and straighten people's lives up through the word of God. But can I tell you tonight, there has to be that which is an inward look. See, I don't care if Jesus is preaching tonight. If you don't take care of you, it doesn't matter. Because nobody can straighten you up. You could have John the Baptist up here preaching tonight in camel's hair, eating wild honey, sucking on his locusts, and spewing out leaves every time, or spewing out that which is, what do you call that? Wings, thank you very much. Spewing out wings every time he preached. I mean, a little bit of wing coming out here, a little bit of wing, and just honey popping out, and him preaching and smelling bad, dressed with camel's hair. You could smell him before you saw him. But now, wait a minute. I don't care who he is tonight. Some people, you got to get over it. I've been your preacher now for 5 years. And your excuse for not going soul winning is because you used to have another pastor by the name of Brother May. Well, I'd serve God if Brother May. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't even serve God if Jesus was preaching. And forget that. Don't blame it on a man. Somebody says, well, I'll tell you what, if I surrender to be a missionary, when I go to the mission field, oh, come on. If you're not leading people to Christ, if you're not walking people down the aisle to be baptized, if you're not doing that here, you won't do it there. If you don't love Jesus here, just because you change fields doesn't mean you're going to love Jesus there. If you don't love preaching here, you're not going to love it there. I tell our young people that's in our Bible college, you're building your own resume. Has nothing to do with your academics, has everything to do with your performance. You know, Dallas is one of the most easiest places in the world to go soul winning. You know how many houses I get invited into? Say, how do you do that, preacher? I knock. You know how many people I get a chance to lead to Christ? How do you do that, preacher? I open my mouth. Well, you know, preacher, how is it that you can lead people to... You pass out a gospel tract. There's no secret to it. There's some that do it, and there's some that don't. There's some that get out there, and by the way, don't get mad at me tonight because I'm preaching, okay? But I don't have to have somebody hold my hand in order to do it. Well, you know, if I could go soul winning with Mr. Soul Winner, I'd be a better soul winner. No, if you get close to Jesus, you'd be a better soul winner. You don't have to have somebody hold your hand. Now, don't get mad at me, but you know, here's what happens at Parkside Baptist Church and probably every church in the nation, and that is this: when we have campaigns, everybody gets excited. And by the way, campaigns are coming. But why can't we pass out a gospel tract and care about somebody that's in need without a campaign?
Yes, sir.
So I'm not getting points for it. You don't need points for it.
Right.
Somebody needs the gospel. Somebody needs to care. Somebody needs to be able to say, the Hemingers are getting ready to join the church tonight. I'm so proud of them, and I'm excited about them coming on, and that is great. The other day, they had a lady break down out front of their house, and Brother Heminger, he texted me, and he said, preacher, he said, my wife is out there trying to help this lady and trying to bring her to an understanding of receiving Jesus Christ, and he went off to try and pick up some stuff to come back and service the vehicle or whatever else was wrong there, and just try. You know, it's more to it than just soul winning. Sometimes people need your help. Sometimes people need a sandwich. Sometimes people need to have fellowship. Hello? So I'm going to Brahms tonight. Can't wait till you get done. I'm going to go to Brahms. We'll invite somebody with you. Say, well, I don't know anybody. That's the whole purpose. Invite somebody with you. Get to know somebody. So there are so many people in my church now. You know, one of the biggest complaints I had when we first started growing was this. You know, when you came here to pastor, we didn't think that we'd be growing like we're growing. And now we don't know everybody, and it bothers me. Well, you want a growing church.
Amen.
You don't want a dead church.
Amen.
Hey, if you're giving the gospel and you're caring about people and you're chasing people and loving people and discipling people, I've got news for you. The church will grow.
Amen.
So what do? You love people. Raise your hand tonight if you know everybody in this building. You know them by name. You know everybody in this building. Raise your hand. It's not a one. You say, see, preacher, the church is too big. I don't know everybody. But here's how you get to know people. Hi, my name is Mike. What's your name?
Is it Bradley?
Hey, man, it's great to meet you. How long you been going here?
A little over 2 years.
Okay. Hey, my name is Mike. What's yours?
Jeremiah Fenton.
How long you been going here?
About 2 years.
Hi, how are you?
How you doing?
How long you been going here?
About 9 years.
9 years. How about you?
25 years.
25 years. Yeah, that's one of the skit guys. All right, now wait a minute. But did you know, you don't get to know people. Please understand this. You get to know people by, this is deep, getting to know people. That's way up there, you know. You sit with the same people all the time. You say, I have to. I'm married to her. I'm not talking about that. Stay married to her. It's good. But I'm talking about that you could take and as a couple, you could get together with another couple, go do something. Come on. Man, take the dare. Go out there and play frisbee golf at 105 degrees. See if you live. Then you can write a book, I Played and Lived. I'm saying this tonight. Look, there's that inward look. Now, you got to look at, and you got to be somebody that is open to God doing surgery on you. Hey, don't just come to church and say, man, I hope preacher's preaching tonight because when preacher preaches, he makes me laugh some. I have to do that because if some of you don't open your spirit to God's spirit, you won't let him work. Look, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that you've got to be that individual that looks inward and do that in-house investigation. Look inside. Are you right with God? Are you walking with God? Did you read your Bible this morning? Does God even know that you spoke to him this morning? Are you happy about being in church? Are you listening to preaching? Are you just zoning out the preacher? Because after all, he said something I didn't like about 9 sermons ago. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying look inward and be clean. Clean yourself up. Decide that you'll be right with God. Here's what it says, James chapter 5 and verse 9. The Bible says, grudge not one against another. He says, brethren, he says, unless ye be condemned, behold, it says, the judge standeth before the door. He said, don't grudge each other. Look, can I tell you something? In a bigger church, you have more friction. In a bigger church, you stand more of a chance of having somebody that rubs you wrong. You're going to have somebody that sits close to you in a bigger church, might even be a visitor, and they forgot to wear their deodorant. Or they have a kid that won't sit still. And they had to sit in front of me. Hello? Or, you know, they have this annoying habit. They're a gum chewer in church, and when they chew it all over their face. And every time I look at them, they gross me out. You're going to have people that annoy you. Some of you already know who I'm talking about. Because you have already placed that individual in your mind. You have already scoped them out tonight. You know where they're sitting. You know what door they're going to walk out of. Normally that one. So you got it planned. You're walking out that one. You know they normally go to the bookstore. So you're not going to the bookstore tonight. You're going to go hang out in the men's room for men. Come on. And here's what the problem is. Instead of you taking care of you, you're putting your nose in everybody else's business. Now, why don't you take care of you? And why don't you try to become the better Christian? See, I share with you, you know, if we all, is it okay? Okay. If we all try to become better Christians, won't we have a better church?
Amen. Right. Good, sir.
Come here, Josh. Instead of me finding somebody, walk in front of me. Walk slow, I'm old. Instead of me finding somebody and saying, well, let me see what I can see wrong with them. Left ear, behind. Dirty. Still dirty. and he's got that, I wonder how long that hair's been out of place. Don't confess your sin to me. Man, he's got hair on the back of his jacket. I wonder if that's his wife's hair. But that's the way church members are. Why don't you forget all that stuff and just say, hey, man, it's great to see you in church. Hey, it's great to see you in church.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here. Hey, this is great. Hey, listen, I'm going to go out soul winning Saturday. I really need a partner. You want to go?
Sounds great.
I have fun when I go soul winning. Hey, I guarantee you that we'll get some doors open.
Sounds great.
We'll probably get invited in. Matter of fact, there's very seldom a Saturday on soul winning I don't get water. Oh. Somebody give me water. Yeah, because I asked for it. You know, we'll just have a good time.
Sounds great.
Why not come to church and enjoy it?
Amen.
See, what you some of you have become that which is a Baptist Sherlock Holmes. Got that big looking glass. Oh, not to be, enjoy it. Thank you, Josh. You say, well, I tell you what, Brother Butler's got problems. Brother Crutcher's got problems. Brother Palmore, problems. Brother Jonathan, problems. Brother Craig, problems. Preacher, you got problems. And I love you, but you got problems. There's not a person in here, dear beloved, that doesn't have problems. Now, I'm saying that I'm being your pastor tonight. Look upward and be calm. Look inward and be clean. Look backward and be challenged. You know what? I didn't get saved until I was 18. I don't wish that on anybody. I thank God for mama. Thank God for daddy. But I don't wish that on anybody. I sat door knocking the other day, and I was talking to a lady, and I led her to the Lord, and I said, isn't that good? I said, is anybody else in the house? And she said, well, yeah, I've got two sons. I said, that's neat. And she caught the drift, and she said, sons, come here, come here. He's got something good to tell you. One was 12, and one was 10. Yes. She bowed her head. She was in her 30s. She received Christ as Savior. She was so thankful. She got her boys to come. I led them to Christ. They were thankful. They were excited. Hey, I'm telling you, listen to me tonight. When you look backward, be challenged from it. Oh, I remember the first time I ever got up to preach. I'm talking about in a church. So discouraged. I mean, just so, I was not with it. I tried to get with it, but there was nothing with it to get. So discouraged. And I got up there and I tried to be proper. You know, I didn't want to offend anybody. I walked up with dignity. So much that you could smell my dignity. And I preached, and I never forget that one dear lady stopped me out there, and she said, don't worry, son. It can't get any worse than this. I thought, man, thank you for your encouragement. Now look, can I tell you tonight, look, when you look backward, be challenged. You ever preach a message that you rethought and said, man, wish I would have said that. Wish I would have said that. You ever preach a message and you say, I wish I would have said it that way. Wish I would have said it that way. You ever preach a message and say, I wish I wouldn't have said it at all. Wish I wouldn't have said it at all. You ever preach a message and think, man, if I could have illustrated it that way, it would have been a whole lot better than illustrating it this way. You ever preach a message and think, I shouldn't have said nothing at all. Yeah, we've all been there. So I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying you look backward and be challenged. Or I'm going to hurry tonight. Here it is. Look at verse 10, James chapter 5. Here it is. It says, take my brother, and it says the prophets. It's looking backwards. Take my brother and the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for the example, the Bible says, of the suffering affliction. And it says, and of, there it is again, patience. So he said, look backward and realize those guys had challenges too. They had problems too, but they made it. All right? So what do? You look backward and be challenged. Look at verse 11. The Bible says, behold, it says, we count them happy which endure. He said, we look at their lives and they made it. And so we count them happy because they endured. The Bible says, and we have heard, it says, of the patience of Job, and we have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender, it says, and of tender mercy. He said, hey, we can learn from these guys. We can learn from a Job that went through all these problems and all these trials. We can look at Job and say, hey, Job made it. Since Job made it, guess what? I can make it by looking at those that were before me. Verse 11, the Bible says, behold, it says, verse 11 again, says, but we count them, it says, happy which endure. You know, when you make it through something, boy, I was so glad I got off that ride. The swing. Man, don't ever go there and get on the swing. But when I got off that ride, Brother Walters, can I tell you, I was relieved to get off of the swing. And I was happy. You know why? Made it. I didn't get dropped. I didn't try and climb out. I didn't toss my cookie. Made it. By the way, when you make it through a trial, you'll say the same thing. But if you give up and you quit in the trial, you'll never be able to say it. Here's what it says. Psalm 100, verse 5. The Bible says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures, it says, to all generations. Helen Keller was 19 months old when she was attacked by an acute disease that was in her stomach and was also in her brain. The doctors did not make it in time, and all of a sudden she lost her sight. She lost her hearing. 19 months old. Yet, despite all the handicaps, she said this. She said, I thank God for my handicaps, for through them I have found myself, God's will, God's calling, and the blessedness of life. 19 months old, lost her sight, lost her hearing, but gave that as a testimony. Now, can I tell you? Listen, you can serve Jesus no matter who you are.
Amen.
One last thing. You look upward, be calm. Look inward, be clean. Look backward, be challenged. Last one, here it is. Look forward and be consistent. Look forward, be consistent. So I tell you what, I just don't know if I can make it tomorrow. Here's how you do it. You make it tomorrow just like you made it today. You get out of bed. You head into the bathroom. You take your shower, take your bath, do whatever you're going to do. Shave, whatever you're going to do. Brush your teeth, whatever you're going to do. You get done, get properly clothed for whatever work you're in. You get out there, you get in your car. Got to start it. Turn the air on. If you have air, not roll the window down. Point your car towards work and go. Traffic stops, everything gets bogged down. Don't get mad, just look at it and say, God, thank you so much for this extra time I can talk to you. Just want to thank you for that. Been meaning to pray for my parents for a long time, now I can do it. Been meaning to pray for my kids for a long time, now I got time. Hey, thank you for that. Been meaning to pray for that pastor for a long time, now I got time to do it. Been meaning to pray for my son, for my daughter, for a long time. Hey, instead of, why don't you put God in your awe? Why don't you bring God in there? Instead of saying, hurry up, count yourself blessed. Hey, start thanking God. God, thank you for this friend. God, thank you for this friend. God, thank you that so-and-so sits in church beside me, in front of me, behind me. Thank you for so-and-so. It works the bookstore. I'm just thinking about them. God, thank you for this one and thank you for that one. By the way, if you start thanking God for all the wonderful things, wonderful people. Yeah, I'm so glad Mrs. Hart is here, and I'm so glad they're able to stay. For Mrs. Hart, how long? Yeah, I think till January before they have to fly back to Hong Kong. Maybe not January, maybe February. I can see it now. You love her so much, you're going to slice her tires when she gets ready to leave. But watch this, if you will. But when you love people, you enjoy seeing them. You know, the neatest thing that I enjoyed about our vacation was time together. I know Josh had to work and wasn't able to go, and Mindy wasn't able to go, and little Andrew wasn't able to go. And I tried to cradle Jonathan, but that didn't work. But the neatest thing was just being together. That was the neatest thing. Driving down the road, being together, laughing, cutting up, cutting on each other, getting cut back, having a good time with each other. Hey, that was the neatest thing in all the world. See, a relationship is what you make it, but you have to be desirous to make it. So look forward and be constant. Let me give you just a couple of verses here, and I'm done. James chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, "But above all, says my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath." It says, but watch it now. "Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation." So here's what he's saying here. He said, man, as you're planning to be able to go forward, know what you're going to say before you say it, plan it. He said, and sometimes it's better not to say too many things than to say too much things. Listen to it now. So what do? Here's what you do. You look forward, and as you're looking forward, be constant. Be constant. Hey, say the little things. Husband gets off work, comes in late, he's tired, he's sweaty. You don't have to say a lot. Just say, look at him and just say, hey, love you. You don't have to cook his favorite meal every night. Just say, hey, love you. Just say little words. Hey, your husband, he's doing his best. He's out there working in the hot sun. Maybe he carries a lunch. Maybe he has a certain plate. Hey, get yourself a 3x5 card and just say, love you, thinking of you today. When you read this, give me a call. Don't answer the phone. Leave a special voice message just for him. Knew you would call. Can't wait to see you. Looking forward to you getting home. And just hope he's the only one that calls. Now, I'm saying this tonight. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that here's what you do. You look forward and be constant. Be constant. One last verse. I'm done. Here it is. Here's what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. The Bible says, "And let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." What's he saying? Here's what he's saying. He's saying there needs to be the ingredient of church right there for you. Don't forsake it. Look, you're not always, honestly, I know me, I know these guys that work for me. Can I tell you, we're not always going to preach messages that are way up there all the time. Not going to happen. You know why? Because we're human. You know why some of them might not be all the way up there all the time for you? You know why? Because you're human. You have a bad day, you bring your bad day into the church house, you see things through your bad day filter. You have a good day, you bring that to the church house, you see things through your good day filter. You and your husband have a knockdown, drag-out, tongue-lashing fight. Now you're entering into the church house. You're mad. He's mad. Everything the preacher says, you look at it through your mad filter. Hello? Somebody gives you a birthday present. You know, we hand it to one of the guys. One of the guys takes it. He hands it down to you. And now all of a sudden things change. Somebody gave you your favorite candy. It's wrapped up real neat. You think, man, somebody loves me. All right, all of a sudden your attitude changes. Somebody gets up, they sing your favorite song. Attitude changes. Preacher gets up and he tells, you've been wanting preacher to tell that story again. You heard it 2 years ago and he just told it. Attitude just changed. Somebody sat on your row that you were hoping would sit on your row one day. Attitude changed. Somebody shook your hand that you've been waiting during the handshaking time. You've been thinking this all along. Wish they'd shake my hand. Wish they'd shake my hand. And they happen to shake your hand. Attitude changed. Somebody came to you, gave you a note, said, hey, look, I want you to know you're special, and I'm praying for you. Just put you on my prayer list. Thank you for being you. Attitude change. See, what I'm saying tonight is this. I'm saying that as an individual, you need to look forward and be constant. Look forward and be constant. Pastor friend, I was misinformed. He pastors in Michigan. Is that where he pastors? The guy that was in Michigan. I'm not going to name his name. Anyway, I heard that he celebrated 30 years anniversary. And whenever I find out that a preacher has done stuff like that, I always write him a letter. Somebody's been married, they're a pastor, because, you know, a lot of people don't think of pastors. So I'll try and write them letters, you know. And so I heard that Dave Gibbs and his wife had been married something like 50 years or something like that. So I wrote him a letter and congratulations, all this. Heard this pastor had pastored for 30 years. I said, man, I'm going to write him a letter. Man, 30 years. Wonderful. So I wrote him a letter. Brother Sweatman, you would have been proud of me. I dictated the letter. It was perfect. It was perfect. Brother Bontegal sealed it, right address, mailed it. Pastor, Michigan, 30 years. He preached at the Sword of the Lord conference where I preached a couple weeks ago. He came up to me and he said, thank you for the letter. I felt so good. He said, thank you for the letter. He said, but I have a question for you. I said, sure. He said, I've not been pastoring 30 years. I've been pastoring 40. He said, which 10 years did you not like? I said, well, thanks for trying, you know. I said, oh, I'll make it up. So I'm going to write him a letter this next week. I'm probably going to put one in there for 40. Big 40. Big 40. Put one in there for 50. That way I don't mess up twice. Look forward and be constant. Just be constant. You know, if you're constant, I'm almost done. But if you're constant with people, they'll forgive you when you fall short. You know, if people would only see how much you love them, you know, they'll forgive you when you don't meet their expectations. If we would just learn to be ourselves, but maybe add some extra kindness in there. You know, I like to hang around people. Now, don't get me, but I like to hang around people that make me feel good. I do. I like to hang around people that will make me smile a little bit. I do. By the way, you do too. You do too. You like to hang around people. Come on. Stand up. Camper of the week. Right. All the kids, it was at camp, only boy, camper of the week. Came back, I found out about that. I said, man, camper of the week. Wow. Man, that is good, son. I'm so proud of you. By the way, I think he needed to hear that from me, and I think I needed to say that from me. Because when you love somebody, you encourage somebody, you know what? They remember that. Come on. One of the little boys was out the other day, passed out a tract, I don't know who it was, gave it to a person over here in the park, person took it, person came. Brother Harrison, I think it was one of your sons. The visitor came to church, I believe it's one of your sons. And I asked the visitor, big guy. I mean, just a huge guy. And I looked up, I said, who invited you? He said, that guy right there. I said, him? He said, yeah, he invited me. He said, gave me a track at the park. Hey, isn't that amazing? See, God can use you. God can use you. Here's what you do. You look forward and be constant. Let me give you the last verse. I'm going to read it. Closing illustration. I'm done. Here's what it says. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, lifting people up. So much the more as you see the day approaching. Why don't you make it your business to encourage somebody and help somebody? Kenny gets up there, plays the piano like a madman. But it's all good spiritual stuff, all right? When he does, or others do, why don't you catch him after church and say, man, that was good. I bet you it took a long time to be able to do that. That was good. I asked a guy one time, I said, man, that was a good piece you played. How long did it take you to do it? He said, 25 years. Yeah. 25 years. I thought, man, that guy must be dumb. Then I walked away and just realized he's been playing piano 25 years. It took him 25 years to get it. It takes a long time. There's a guy by the name of Roger Bannister. Roger Bannister, 1954, was the first person to run the mile under 4 minutes. First person. Just 1 year later, there was a guy by the name of John Lantry. John Lantry, he was an Australian runner, beat the 4 minute mile. Ever since then, people has been beating it, but somebody had to set the precedence. I like being around preachers that are doing stuff. Somebody asked me the other day, said, well, you know, why you pass out so many tracks? I can tell you, one guy, I can tell you, one guy, Hatch. Carl Hatch had an irreplaceable, unresistible influence in my life. Everywhere we traveled together, he's always talking to people. Always passing out tracts. Always loving people. Always taking time for people. And I said, I want that. I want that. I want to be somebody that's genuine. Might not be the greatest preacher in the world. Might not be the greatest teacher in the world. One thing I can be genuine. I can care. I can show somebody how to go to heaven. I can help somebody with a burden. I can pray. I can show scripture. I can lead. I can encourage. I can do those things. See, just look forward and be constant. Had a person come out, I'm done, here it is. I gotta quit. Had a person came out here and said, it's Brother Watkins' son, said, it's Micah, he said, can I talk to you? I said, sure, what do you need? He said, can I talk to you in private? I said, absolutely. Walked down to the office, come here, Micah. Walked into the office, Micah, come up here. Micah just stood there and looked at me. Started crying. He said, I'm not saved. I said, really? He said, preacher, I'm not saved. I said, I think I can help you. You want me to? He said, I want you to. He's bawling his eyes out. I was bawling my eyes out. I said, let's get dad. Whenever I lead a boy to Christ or a child, I like their parent, at least one of them to be there, knowing if it's a boy, I get the dad to come. So dad came in, and dad sat down with Micah and I, and dad sitting there, and he's hearing me show Micah the scriptures. And I said, Micah, why don't you let your daddy lead you to Christ in prayer? Would you like that? He said, sure would. He'll always remember, Brother Hooker, that his dad led him to Christ in prayer. I didn't want to come between him and his dad. I'm here to build the relationship, not tear it. See? And so I pointed him to his daddy. All right, and his dad's a great soul winner, great couple. But I'd already started carrying the ball, but I want his dad to be able to lead him to Christ in prayer. By the way, I'd do that with a daddy. Because you see, as I point him towards his dad, it builds that relationship. And that's what it should be. So what do? Here's what you do. You be constant and just look on. Now, I'll preach the devil out of you. You know I will. If your kids are not behaving right, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. I'm not ashamed of it. I'll step on your toes, sit in your lap, and spit in your eyeball. If I can, all three at once. But I'll always love you. Now, I'm saying this. Be constant. Be consistent. Just go forward. Your kids deserve that. Your friends deserve that. Those sitting around you deserve that. And there's a way to be able to do that. Be careful where you look. Look the right way and follow through.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.